WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is back in Washington. Relatives of the living Israeli hostages released yesterday are savoring loved ones' returns. Among them, Moshe Lavi's brother-in-law.
She was so excited that they recognized him, he recognized them, and that they immediately had that father-to-daughter's bond that was missing in the past 2 years.
A home reno about to get more expensive because of surcharges that kick in today. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
New tariffs are going to be slapped on timber, lumber, and certain wood products. They'll include a 10% duty on softwood lumber, as well as a 25% tariff on upholstered wooden furniture, kitchen cabinets, and vanities.
Southern Californians bracing for heavy rains and mud flows in areas devastated by the Eaton and Palisades fires. Along the East Coast, they're picking up after a nor'easter. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
In New York City, one woman was killed after winds sent a solar panel flying from a carport, striking her.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Average gas prices have fallen 8.6 cents per gallon over the last week. The average price at the pumps in Wisconsin landed at $2.68 on Monday. This is over 21 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and 35 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say the national average could drop below $3 per gallon for the first time in years. Over 40 states are seeing gas prices decline and oil prices drop below $60 per barrel at the end of last week. In the weeks ahead, it's possible a handful of stations in some states, including Wisconsin, could drop below $2 per gallon. That hasn't happened since the COVID-19 pandemic. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin is encouraging electric and natural gas utility customers with outstanding bills to take action. The moratorium period begins November 1st and runs through April 15th. During that time, utilities are prohibited from disconnecting utility service for non-payment when it's used for home heating. If you're currently disconnected, however, you must make arrangements to restore service before the moratorium begins. Utilities are not required to reconnect service until payment arrangements have been made. You can make arrangements directly with your provider or apply for financial assistance. You can find more information and links at energyandhousing.wi.gov. The Portage County Veterans Service Office will be closed all of next week. From October 20th through the 24th, Veterans Service Officers will be attending annual training in Eau Claire. They'll have limited access to email and voicemails during that time, but will return all calls and emails promptly when they reopen on Monday, October 27th at 7:30 a.m. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 2 of the NLCS coming up tonight here at American Family Field. The Dodgers winning a close one last night, 2-1. Milwaukee finally scoring in the bottom of the ninth off a Jackson Chourio sacrifice fly. The Brewers loading the bases with two outs, but Bryce Tarang struck out swinging at a high fastball. Christian Yelich after the game.
You know, once we kind of got some traffic out there and put some good at-bats together late and we gave ourselves a chance, you know, we were one swing away from kind of stealing that thing and, you know, made it interesting at the end. Obviously, wish we could have pulled it out, but, you know, we knew the series was going to be a battle. It was going to be a lot of close games. You know, this one didn't go our way, but we still got a long way to go.
NFL, the Packers began for their trip to Arizona to play the Cardinals. On Sunday, Lucas Van Ness was carted off the field with a foot injury after sacking Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco and had an MRI.
We definitely avoided something serious, but how long he'll be out remains to be seen.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs around 60 degrees. Rain tonight, a low around 45. Mostly cloudy and highs in the upper 50s on Wednesday. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, will be in the mid-40s. Thursday, a chance of rain and a high around 62. Currently, 46 degrees.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, farmers and the Trump tariffs. How are they faring? Will Westmoreland will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Tuesday morning. It is October 14th. Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom is standing by, and then at the bottom of the hour, we will be talking to Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area. Parker Olson is producing things down in Madison Studio A2, where he continues to believe. He's a believer. He's got the Brewers t-shirt on, a different t-shirt. Don't get me wrong. He does wash his clothes now and then, but he is adorned for game two tonight against the Dodgers.
You have to, Pat. If you're not wearing Brewers clothes, Mr. Kreitlow, why are you wearing a flannel? you are just not as committed as you need to be.
Or it could be that maybe because I was wearing it yesterday, I jinxed the team. And that's why I just put on civilian clothes today.
You know, I'm not superstitious, but I'm a little stitious. I have been thinking about what I've been wearing and the result of these games a lot. Yeah.
That is the difference between your youthful enthusiasm and being a cranky old man. So stay on that side of the line for as long as you possibly can. Game two pregame coverage begins tonight at 6:30 on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to get one comment in on the text line from Jim in Appleton for our discussion earlier about wheel taxes. These are the locally assessed vehicle fees. And he writes, Jim writes from Appleton, wheel taxes are a far better solution to street construction than special assessment ever was. I am of an age where I paid both $20,000 for a special assessment in the 90s versus $40 a year for a wheel tax. If I were the only one that used the street in front of my house, $20,000 would have been okay. But of course, it's not. That is a very good point, Jim. And I appreciate you making that because, again, for all the years that I was a local reporter covering those special assessments for those street projects and the sidewalks and people that didn't want curb and gutter because of the special assessment, it is a kinder, gentler way of doing $40 a year rather than a $20,000 special assessment. Again, there's people that would take issue with that, saying that, you know, again, why do we need another tax when we could just be doing things in a different way? But it's a fair debate to have, and I'm really glad that Jim put that wrinkle into it. So thank you very much for that. You can always send in your thoughts as well. Head over to the Civic Media app and just use that text button to send us a message or give your comments on Facebook or YouTube, the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, and the Civic Media YouTube and Facebook pages. Joining us now is Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom, live from Washington, D.C. Still in the short-term place, the one with the really mint green walls that you've got behind you there. I mean, I get a hankering for Thin Mints every time that we mint chocolate chip ice cream. But this is what you got till you.
Every wall in the house.
Wall in the house is that green.
Wow. Yeah, I used to be a fan of the color, but it is it's wearing thin. Let me tell you, I can't wait to get some walls of our own so we can paint them literally.
Yeah.
Color about this.
It does make for interesting choices for wall decorating. You made the right choice. Nothing on the wall right now, as long as that's going on. All right. Well, let's get into the let's get into the shutdown here. And look at something like the New York Times, and you'd almost wouldn't know that there was a shutdown, because I get it. The two parties are not really talking to each other right now. But the shutdown is a very real thing. It's very much having an impact on Americans, and a growing number of them, as you have fewer federal paychecks that are going out and everything like that. And it just feels, Cam, like, I don't know if there's enough of an appreciation yet inside Washington, D.C., that, you know, this is having real impact outside of the nation's capital.
Yeah, it's, I think it's a result of us, and maybe a lot more traditional media, treating politics like sports, where it's, you know, they said this, we're waiting for the next, you know, controversy between the two parties. When really this is a good time for outlets and reporters to be digging into what's really going on. Well, just like you said, to what is actually happening on the street, you know, what's happening with people's jobs and daily lives who are federal workers or who rely on federal programs. Or even the fact that Republicans, for the first time in shutdown history, aren't here to negotiate anything. Normally, they are here in their role, you know, their primary role in Congress is to pass a budget, to compromise and to negotiate and debate what that looks like. But they're not trying that at all. They've gone home. They're just trying to kind of ride it out, which is unusual.
Right. Because, again, in the meantime, you have families going without paychecks. We've talked about the food banks that are already starting to open up. And frankly, just even beyond, you know, the layoffs and the furloughs, you also have a historic wave of retirements, people who will not be coming back by their own choice. And those are not going to be easy positions to fill. So, again, maybe this is just me, but I feel like we've reached a tipping point in the era of government service. I mean, I don't think you're going to see a quote unquote full recovery from this thing when it's all done.
Yeah. And the thing that's hard to measure until you see the damage is programs that work really efficiently and effectively. You know, the sometimes the best people at their jobs are the ones who you don't even know are there. And right now what we're seeing is just the hollowing out of our government infrastructure with jobs of people who do that. They go in every day and they make our lives easier, but because they're so good at it, we don't realize what they do. And we're going to start seeing that. I mean, the CDC has been going back and forth. One day, you know, RFK Jr. fires 1,000 people. The next day, the administration's scrambling to hire back hundreds of experts because they're needed. You know, we have members of the military, like you mentioned, going to food banks. We have here in DC, there are, you know, tons of restaurants that are offering free meals and reduced prices to federal workers because, you know, this week they're not getting paid. Even the ones who are going to work are not getting any money.
No, they're not. And it does not seem like you have an administration that is anything other than gleeful about this, because again, the more pain they inflict, the more they can say that it's actually Democrats who are doing this rather than the people who want to make all the slashing of healthcare and exacerbating this. Because again, I can't emphasize the math enough. Republicans have the majority in the Senate and the House, and they hold the White House, and it's their inability to agree amongst themselves that has led to this. They are actually the governing party. It's just that they choose not to.
Yeah. And really, you know, when you only need five, you know, in the Senate, you only need a couple of votes. How hard would it be to actually meet with senators individually, you know, Democrats, and try and win them over, try and give them, you know, something for their state or something for their constituents that would cause them to compromise? Or even, you know, they could do something that I guess is unheard of for congressional Republicans, and give the Democrats one of the three things that they're asking for, which is to keep our healthcare laws, to restore funding for public broadcast, and to provide security for public officials, which is another sticking point that Republicans, for whatever reason, don't want to bend on.
For whatever reason, yeah, that puts it one way. Michael in Pleasant Prairie on the text line says, he answers his own question, what's going on in terms of the shutdown? It's affordable health care versus the Epstein files. And I mean, again, we have a lot of work going on to provide a distraction from something that could be very embarrassing to the Trump administration. They're really just looking to engage in quite literal propaganda, which takes us to Kristi Noem and the new video that you would see at airports. Before, it was a very informative video about what you can and can't take through TSA checkpoints. Then the Trump administration took over, and it was more of a Kristi Noem, look at me, I'm telling you how wonderful the Trump administration is at this airport. Now there's a new version where she specifically to camera blames Democrats. In other words, engages in partisan politics on an official government video. And, you know, it's very Big Brother-esque. You know, here's a cabinet official talking to you on these monitors where you're a captive audience waiting at a security checkpoint. And it's a very interesting development, Cam, that a growing number of these airports are saying, hey, you know what? There's no law that requires us to play this video, so we ain't gonna.
Yeah, yeah. I we were talking earlier, both of us were traveling this past week, as the shutdown's been going on. And when I left Baltimore last week, there was Kristi Noem. Although it's kind of funny because this is a very ineffective Big Brother system. Anyone who's been to the airport knows that these videos play, but they're on mute. So unless you're sitting there reading the captions as it's going, you have no idea what these videos are even saying.
Well, right, because initially, pre-Trump, they were very graphic heavy, just showing you things that you could or couldn't take through security. And like I said, the first Kristi Noem was just her talking to camera. And like I said, I don't think she realized that they're on mute at most of these airports. So you're right. It's not the most effective propaganda, is it?
No. I mean, that's what you get when it's a bunch of people who enjoy being on TV above all else. Oh. But we are seeing, like you mentioned, more and more airports are refusing to even air it. By the time I got back home, when I stopped in Phoenix and Atlanta, I didn't see it. And it just seems like people and organizations and institutions are finding their own way to say, we don't have to politicize everything in life. People just want to get to the airport and get to where they want to go. They don't need to see the Department of Homeland Security director talking to us.
Right, exactly. Let's see. State Senator Chris Alfheim in Appleton says, even Speaker Robin Voss came to the table when a compromise was needed to pass a budget when they needed Democratic votes. He wasn't happy, but he brought Senate Dems to the negotiation when the Republican Senate wouldn't. And again, that's a sign of being a grown-up. And so for people that say, like, well, you know, you need 60 votes for something in the Senate, so it's the Democrats' fault. Well, it's not the Democrats' fault if you won't negotiate with them, if you need their votes. It's really that simple. So in the meantime, you have a protest planned nationwide for Saturday, the so-called No Kings protests. And they're going to be all over Wisconsin, all over every place. And it really says something when you have cabinet officials like Sean Duffy and others who are trying to get ahead of this and say that it's all paid agitators and it's all Antifa. And it just makes Sean Duffy and the others look absolutely ridiculous that you feel that you need to pre-butt a demonstration against you.
It does. It does for anyone who is able to see the whole picture. What I'm worried about is that they say these things, there are these sound bites, and then, you know, this far right media propaganda network is able to take those, splice it with footage of violent protests and say, you know, this is what you're going to see in your city and cause unnecessary agitation or just cause people to believe something that isn't real, like what we're seeing with Portland and Chicago.
Absolutely. And although, again, they were going to do it anyway. And so if people, you know, people want to protest about what they think is happening in D.C., then they should. And hopefully without this administration trying to goad anybody into violence or intimidation. Catch all this from the Below the Beltway newsletter that Cam puts together. Head over to couriernewsroom.com or belowthebeltway.news for more. Cam, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Go enjoy some Thin Mint Oreos for me now.
Don't mind if I do.
Thanks, Cam. We'll talk to you a little bit later. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area in 15 minutes. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long-term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Hey, Mom, can I go out with my friends?
You're getting sick again? You need to stay home and rest.
Okay.
I know I can't get sick again.
No!
Oh, what? Oh, it was only a dream. I'm heading to Family Natural Foods first thing in the morning.
Family Natural Foods is there for your family with elderberry immune support from Terry Naturally. Protect yourself and don't miss another day with help from Family Natural Foods, West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
A great idea to combine this stuff, too, because you hit on something right there of wanting a memory, wanting a moment. That's where most people are nowadays. If they're going to spend their money on a ticket of anything, they want an experience. You're really giving people that with this. And Lori and Friends Catering is amazing. They're awesome. That's going to be a lot of fun. Can't imagine the items that will show up in that silent auction. They're always good stuff in those kind of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with assumption involved, you know it's going to be. So that'll be fun. So the looking at this, with opening night at least, you've got the cocktails, social, silent auction will kick off at 5:30. 6 will be the dinner with Lori and Friends Catering, as was mentioned. And at 7, opening night of Sister Act. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's great night. Now, tickets for that, $60 for that night, or are they just for that night?
Yep. So if you would like to experience the cocktails, the social, the silent auction, and the dinner, and even a dessert during intermission, the tickets are $60. However, you could also just come that night and witness the opening night for our regular ticket price, but you just come in when it's time, just so you know, you'll probably be sitting on the bleachers. But it's really cool because Assumption's getting new bleachers, which this will kick off the new bleachers at Assumption.
There you go. Nice tie-in.
Good little thing there. So that's the price of that.
We'll tell you how to get tickets before we wrap up today and everything. But I'm also like to let the audience look behind the curtain a little bit about this stuff. Again, no pun intended. How often were you guys able to rehearse for this show?
Yeah, so we're dealing with a lot of stuff because here's the thing with Assumption. We don't just have people who are interested in theater. We've got a very small pool of people, right? And so even if you're interested in theater, you're also interested in football. You're sure. also interested in tennis. And so what we've really had to do is really work with our coaches for our fall sports and make sure that our rehearsals are kind of after all of the other ones. For me personally, I've been rehearsing every single night. But some of the kids, they'll get two nights, they'll get three nights, depending on who they are. They'll get, you know, four nights a week to rehearse. But we've been doing it since basically first week of school. Has right been on. Auditions, and then second week of school, we jumped into it.
I appreciate that. For one, I like the audience to know how hard people work on these things when they're coming in to take these shows and what you're seeing out there and the work that's put into it. It's such a great point and something I think we forget about the farther we get away from high school and school in general and everything of, well, yeah, I want to do this, but I also want to do this, this, and this. And there's only so many hours in the day and so many hours after school. And it's really encouraging and cool to hear of you and the coaches working together on this.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
A big shout out to them for that.
Yeah, they've been super helpful and supportive of it. So,
for you, throughout this process, is there something that is anything that stands out to you, or the process itself is just enjoyable?
Oh, every time I do a show, it's so enjoyable because I just think of all the things I can do with it, you know. But these kids have been such a fun aspect of the show. This is my first musical that I've directed, and it's a lot of the kids' first show as well. And so I think we've all just had this kind of, I don't know if inaugural is the word, but like, sure. you know, inaugural sense of like, we're here for the first time. We're, mm-hmm. you know, we're learning this together in a way. And it's been really cool. But they've been troopers, so that's been awesome.
The feeling of starting something, of getting something kind of hopefully a trend starting, of bringing musicals back and some of that. That's a powerful feeling. It's a wonderful feeling. And that kind of feeling is a big part of the reason why we encourage you to support these shows. And while I love all types of theater and everything, if you're going to choose one type of theater to support, it's high school theater. It's these kids. Oh, yeah. There is no such thing as a bad high school show. It never has happened and it never will. Every one of these shows are amazing with these kids. They truly are. And I'm not just saying that to be nice. I truly genuinely mean that. And it's one of those things where, again, you're going to spend the money on the ticket. You're going to sit there and you're going to take in a good show. And from the bottom of your heart to the top of your head, you're going to be feeling good, not only from the entertainment of the show and laughing and all that, but knowing that you had just invested in your community.
Right.
You just helped the arts in your community. And there's also the other part of this, of what it does for these kids. We don't know what they might go on to do. They're all going to go on to do great, amazing things, I'm sure. But whatever they end up doing, they could use some confidence with it. They could use some people skills, some speaking in front of people skills, some of those things. When you're going and taking in these shows, you're supporting that. You're helping that. You're encouraging that. You're literally investing in helping the future, because that's what these kids are. And you're helping them do that just by taking in a show. And a good show at that, by the way. Sister Act is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you never know whose life is going to change either by doing theater. Theater has that effect on people.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So helping out the arts is always super, super great.
Ryan, it's been great hanging out with you. I do really appreciate the time. Let's remind everybody the details of the performances, when they are, what to expect, and how they can get tickets.
So Sister Act is opening on November 13th, 2025. We have that whole dinner show. Again, 5:30 p.m. cocktails, 6 o'clock dinner, 7 o'clock opening night. We also have a show November 14th on Friday night at 7 o'clock. And we also have a show November 15th. It's a two-show day, so we have a Saturday matinee at 1 o'clock, a closing night performance at 7 o'clock. And for all of the performances, adult tickets are $15, student tickets are $10. And if you're looking for tickets, you've got a bunch of places to go. The main place we're selling tickets is our show website that just got up today. You can find it at our.show/AHS Sister Act. I'll say that one more time. our.show/AHS Sister Act. You can also find it on AssumptionCatholicSchools.org or on our Facebook, Assumption Theatricals. We're doing a fun little Facebook thing that if we have 167 people on Facebook, followers, you might be entered into a raffle for a free ticket. So that's super exciting.
That's that not only exciting, that's a great encouragement to people to like that page, subscribe to it, keep up to date on it. And again, buy local, support the arts, everybody, and take in this great show. Make plans November 13th or 14th or 15th, or take them all in because there's no reruns in theater. It's going to be a great time, and you're going to enjoy yourself. And Ryan, we had a great time with you. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Please tell the cast, everybody involved, break a leg, have a great run.
Thanks.
And thank you for joining us, everybody out there, for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. In many school districts, seniors who aren't able to pay off lunch debt or other debt they've accrued throughout their education aren't allowed to cross the stage on graduation day. They can even be taken to small claims court over these debts. According to the Education Data Initiative, Wisconsin has more than 202,000 children who are considered food insecure, and meal debt in the state is over $112 million. Grace held a trivia night on October 5th to help pay off school debt in Southwood County. The Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism, or GRACE, currently has five churches who participate. Reverend Kate West is the current president of the GRACE group.
We're just very thankful for the community who has so graciously helped, whether it's through like these tap house donating space to different groups have donated silent auction baskets.
West is also the minister of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Wisconsin Rapids.
I think most of us can agree that, you know, it's pretty clear in whatever faith tradition that people should be fed.
Last year, Grace paid off close to $3,000 in school debt in Nakusa and Wisconsin Rapids. Reverend Beth Roan Habhager is the pastor at the Moravian Church. She and her husband Seth hosted the trivia night at Bee's Tap House. They opened for this event on a Sunday when they're normally closed and donated their cash tips. A total of $1,339 was raised between the trivia, silent auction, and free will donation. Roan Habhager said the event was well-attended and well-received.
We are so grateful to the community for their support of this, and they're wanting to help us help our community that are struggling.
The Grace Group hopes to hold these trivia nights twice yearly, one in spring and one in the fall. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Another Hollywood icon, Diane Keaton, passed away on Saturday. Diane Keaton got her start in theater. Her Broadway debut was Hair, and she received a Tony nomination for her performance in Play It Again, Sam. Keaton was a major part of the new Hollywood movement, benefiting from directors having more creative control than studios. A perfect example was her role in Woody Allen's Annie Hall. Allen wrote the part based on Keaton, and she won a Golden Globe and an Oscar. If you remember, Annie's character was from Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Keaton was also one of Francis Ford Coppola's favorites, as he cast her as Kay Corleone, Michael's wife in all three Godfathers. Keaton never married, but often dated her co-stars like Warren Beatty, Woody Allen, and Al Pacino, and says she was happy she remained single. She was a mother to two adopted children, Dexter and Duke. Diane Keaton passed away on October 11th. She was 79 years old. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 97.5 WFHR.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs around 60 degrees. Rain tonight, a low around 45. Mostly cloudy and highs in the upper 50s on Wednesday. For Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, we'll be in the mid-40s. Thursday, a chance of rain and a high around 62.
Currently, 46 degrees.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it to safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers and Buckeyes square off in Madison. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Looking pressured and sacked.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome UW Cinematheque programmer and host of the Lifers podcast, Ben Reiser, and then comedy sports director Mike Kauth joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back on this Tuesday morning. Dan Schaefer about to join us from the recombobulation area, Civic Media's political editor, and we will talk about the Wisconsin legislature finally deciding to do some business and be back in session, take up some bills, a couple that we've referenced before, and one that we've not, because we frankly don't know if it's going to pass or not, but Dan Schaefer's here to talk to us more about that. Dan, we're getting a note from one of our listeners, Alicia, on YouTube, that it looks like, once again, Democrats are going to try to attach an amendment to one of the bills today that would fund a facility for homeless veterans in Chippewa Falls. And I bring that up first because you've got, much like the shutdown, the Republican strategy appears to be, A, cause the shutdown, B, blame Democrats. Similarly, for the homeless veterans, it's A, take all the governor's requested funding out of the state budget, and B, blame Democrats. And I feel like in both cases, they know that they got their hand caught in the cookie jar or whatever analogy they want to make. And now they're looking for like the right way to kind of, they don't want to say cave in, but, you know, somehow work together to solve the problem. And maybe today is the day they do it.
Maybe it is. Thanks to Alicia for sharing that latest with us here. I think it's been such an example of how frustrating state government can be in Wisconsin when you have, you know, Republicans playing this constant game of heads I win, tails you lose with mm-hmm. every issue. You know, you talk about it with the shutdown. This is definitely another example of that. The Republicans caused this problem by taking the funding for these veterans homes out of the budget. And how often do we hear from Republicans, we don't want money going to, you know, immigrants, or we don't want money going to this, that, and the other thing, people who don't deserve it. We need to take care of our veterans. Well, here's an example of how Republicans don't do that either. They just don't want to take care. They don't take care of what's needed there either. And it seems like this is of all of the things that state government funds, you know, a place for homeless veterans to get back on their feet. Seems like something we should fund with a very small percentage of our state budget. So hopefully these amendments will move forward and we'll get through the constant nonsense games of heads I win, tails you lose from the Republicans and can actually pass something meaningful.
Well, I would hope so, but it would be helped if there were a couple of Republicans who would essentially speak out, because Lord knows Democrats have never had a problem with one or two members calling out their own party leaders when they think it is warranted. And I can think, for example, of Senator Andre Jacques, who was the one Republican who voted for an earlier Democratic amendment to restore this funding for homeless veterans. But I could just as easily pick on former state Senator Dave Zien, the person that I defeated back in 2006. He continues to be a tireless advocate for veterans. Still a rock-ribbed Republican through and through, but it would sure be a breath of fresh air if instead of just saying, we need to put this funding back in, if he'd say, my party screwed up and they need to fix this. Whether it's that particular issue or things at the federal, you know, shutdown level, a few more profiles in Courage would be real nice these days.
Sure would, but it doesn't seem to be the era that we are in exactly for the Trump Republican Party.
Mitt Romney. Oh, sorry. I just, somewhere along the line, we would get that. Okay, so we may see that vote today on an amendment to the homeless veterans funding. We've talked about some of the other bills that are going to come up, and so I want to get your take on these as well. One is the ongoing Republican war on quote unquote regulations. And that we're such a heavily regulated state and there's too many regulations and we need some regulations to expire, or we need to pay people if they successfully get some regulations overturned. And I will simply restate my position, take out regulation, put in the word protection for the environment, for consumers, for employees. And you've got a totally different debate here. They know Governor Evers. They know what he vetoes. Why do they keep going through this exercise, Dan?
It's just a show, Bill. It's just a show to try to say that, hey, we cut regulations, and obviously it's going nowhere. Tony Evers is going to veto this. It sure seems like, because it's just seems like a nonsense way to govern. Like, you can't just, what is it, every 7 years having to revisit these regulations? Is that what it is, Pat?
Yeah, seven years, and a regulation would simply go away, which State Representative Jody Emerson said 24 hours ago on this show. Imagine if that seventh year happens during an election year when the legislature is hardly meeting and there's even more pressure. Why would we politicize consumer protections, environmental protections, employee protections in that way?
And it's even take the ideology aside of it, that Republicans want to cut regulations, or like you say, cut protections. I think that is a better way of framing it. And it's just creating, our state government is not exactly that active, not exactly a proactive legislative body to begin with. Yeah. So creating these problems that they would have to revisit each of these different things, the assembly turns over pretty frequently. We get a lot of new state senators. You're going to have people revisiting this who might not know exactly what was passed initially. It just seems like a design to create more gridlock, more bureaucracy. And that's always, what they talk about with these regulations is we need to cut bureaucracy. But by doing this, they're having the opposite effect. And, that's is that often the case with these Republican measures in the state? Perhaps. But I do think that, it would just create a nonsense way to govern. And I think, it would be smart to not pass this one.
As noted on the text line from Andrew, but regulations on hemp are okay. And again, it's very selective, putting more regulations in to qualify for Medicaid, like you said, or other things like that. So those matters are going to be discussed in Madison this week. There was also a bill that we talked about that would remove one step in the process when there are officer related deaths. Right now, if a district attorney decides not to file a criminal complaint against somebody related to an officer involved death, a judge can still choose to hold a hearing, look at the evidence, and make a decision on whether to issue a criminal complaint. There is a bill being considered that would remove that judge's discretion to do it and say, if the district attorney decides not to press charges, then a judge can't take this up and hold a hearing unless there's some kind of new evidence. And I really don't see a reason, Dan, to be getting rid of that safeguard, that bit of independence in case you've got a DA who might be a little too cozy with some bad actors.
Yeah, it's another example of how we're just trying to eliminate checks and balances in certain instances in this country, right? We're seeing that all over the place in the Trump administration, the Congress just not doing its job as a co-equal branch of government. And now we have examples like this where they're trying to remove, some sort of like legal oversight or whatever it might be. And I still, we still hear the term all the time, officer involved shooting. The officer is involved because the officer did the shooting. Now, whether that's justified or not, we can leave those to the courts or the people who are witnessing the event or whatever it might be. There was one in Milwaukee last week, where, you know, I think even the family of the person who was, you know, shot in the exchange with the officer said that the use of force was justified. But, you know, that's not always the case. And it's just stop calling these an officer involved shooting, because, again, it's a police shooting. The officer is obviously involved because they were the person who did the shooting. And so there's better ways to talk about these. And I think, again, you know, you mentioned the fact that, you know, district attorneys and police officers will often work closely together in these instances. And so it's just, you know, we want to have honest oversight of these instances that involve the use of force.
We are talking to Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area. You can get that newsletter by signing up at therecombobulationarea.news. So we've gotten to the things that the legislature is going to be talking about. So we have the things that are active in the here and now, rather than we've often led with the governor's race, because there have been people making announcements that they're in or they're out, or they get in and then they get out. And this time around, I think since our last visit, we've had the announcement of somebody who just was not going to get into the race at all. And that would be Attorney General Josh Call. So let me ask up front, on the scale of 1 to 10 of the surprise factor, how surprised were you that he decided not to run for governor?
No, I would say somewhere in the middle, somewhere about a 5 or so. You know, I think things had kind of been trending in that direction for a little while here, as we've been hearing some of these announcements from various candidates, Democrats getting into the race over the last couple months here. And you know, I think Call had, there was an article in the Cap Times a couple of years ago. There were some other quotes from Call suggesting that he would be interested in a run for governor if that were to, you know, if the race were to open up, if Tony Evers were to not seek re-election. But I think there are a number of factors going on here. I think, you know, for one, I think Call recognizes the need for a strong legal presence in the state in this time when Trump is doing what Trump is doing at the national level. So I think it's really important to have a strong Democratic attorney general, someone with experience, someone with that, you know, legal authority to be able to push back and file lawsuits. And obviously he's been very busy this year doing just that. And so perhaps it makes sense to stay in that position and run for re-election. And again, it's, you know, there's a lot of people running for governor. I thought Call would perhaps walk into the race as a front runner of sorts, just based on the fact that he has won 2 statewide elections and most of the other candidates in the field can't say the same for them. But I didn't think he would be an overwhelming front runner either. And so perhaps it just makes sense for him to run for re-election where he is. And I think that makes for, you know, a cleaner race in some senses for him to run for AG. And we have this big, weird primary for governor.
You know who I think, listening to your answer, if she were still with us, be nodding her head in agreement, would be Josh Call's mom, Peg Lautenschlager, former attorney general herself, widely respected, and would I knew her just well enough to know that I think that reasoning alone is something that she would get and understand why Josh Call is in the right place at the right time, even if it isn't the big stage that people would want. So it takes us to this little graphic that I put together every time there's an update on the candidates. I started with this graphic with 12 headshots on it, and a lot of them had question marks. Others said in, then out, or in, or out. Or if you're Bill Berrien, it said then, and now it says out. So Josh Call's got the out, and there's only one photo left with a question mark next to it, and that's former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and whether we think an announcement in or out might be imminent.
That is the big looming question over the primary right now, what Mandela Barnes is going to do, you know, because I think his entrance to the race would certainly impact, you know, fellow Milwaukee and David Crowley, what his path forward might be. It might impact, you know, fellow progressives like Kelda Royes and Francesca Hong, what their path forward in the race might be. And he has some strong name recognition, but, you know, there are a lot of candidates in Wisconsin. It's more on the Republican side lately, who have run in statewide races, lost, and then tried again, and then also lost. Mm-hmm. You know, we're thinking Brad Schimmel, thinking Dan Kelly with two Kelly. That's Kelly with two L's. And so right. I think there's a real concern there to consider.
Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. We will turn things to the Brewers, sadly enough, and a little more live from Lake Wasota coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 15th, a pivotal case in the future of the Voting Rights Act will be heard in the U.S. Supreme Court. It pits the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause against 60 years of court precedent and the 15th Amendment. Voting rights protections for minority Americans are at stake. Since 2013, the Roberts Court has struck down the VRA's preclearance oversight of discriminatory states, and last year made it harder for minority voters to prove racial gerrymandering. Now, the VRA's protections from racial gerrymandering could be eliminated entirely. Louisiana v. Calais is a continuation of a racial gerrymandering case for which lower courts mandated two majority-minority congressional districts under Section 2. Louisiana's population is 33% African American, but as of 2022, in only one congressional district out of six could black voters have a realistic chance of electing a candidate of their choice. Quote, non-African American voters claim the majority-minority districts discriminate against them under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The state of Louisiana argues that race-based redistricting, including under the Voting Rights Act, is therefore unconstitutional. We'll discuss the 14th and 15th Amendments and the Equal Protection Clause in our next report. Oral arguments will be streamed beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We have a link at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, we are back with Dan Schaefer here at just coming up on 8:53 now on this Tuesday morning. We were talking about the race for governor, and you know, looming behind all of that, of course, is that there's also going to be a U.S. Senate race in 2028, rather, when it's I would say not likely that Ron Johnson would run for a fourth term. After all, he promised to serve only two. How many times do you want to be a liar? But, you know, for anybody that doesn't run for governor this time or runs and falls short, there's that right away. They're always, it's Wisconsin, Dan. There's always the next big thing looming.
We don't really have an off season when it comes to politics in this state, do we? There's always another election around the corner. That's for sure.
And more to talk about beyond the governor's race, for example, in the 7th Congressional District here up north with Tom Tiffany running for governor, you would not have been wrong in assuming that Mary Felskowski, the state Senate president from the Tomahawk area, would just slide right into that role as of being the Republican candidate for Congress up here. But she has taken herself out of the race, which was somewhat of a surprise yesterday, Dan.
Yeah, a little bit of a surprise. State Senator Mary Felskowski says she won't be running for higher office this year. She had also been mentioned as a potential candidate for governor as well. That always seemed a little bit unlikely, but it, you know, she was the assembly representative who stepped up to run for state senate when Tom Tiffany, who was then a state senator, ran for Congress. So it stood to reason that she might follow a similar path in 2025 as she did in 2020 by taking that next step up for higher office. But taking herself out of the race for Congress for the 7th congressional district to run for that seat that Tom Tiffany currently represents. So it looks like she will remain in the state senate, and she's been, you know, pretty significant presence there. And she had a pretty fiery speech for the state budget. She was actually at odds with some of her Republican colleagues in that state budget battle. You know, I think it was the first time in forever that the state Senate president and the majority leader of the same party voted on different sides of the budget. So I thought that was interesting. So maybe she's got some designs on what's next in the state legislature. Who's to say?
It's very possible. It could also be possible that she saw the writing on the wall and that the 7th congressional district might have its first Nepo baby as a member of Congress, because the son-in-law of former Congressman turned Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is considering a run. Michael Alfonso is married to Sean Duffy's daughter, Avita, and has been calling around to county chairs, according to Dan Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, expressing a potential interest in running, which would bring in all of the Duffy family's connections and make him a formidable candidate. Even though nobody knows him in this congressional district, but politics.
But we, as we saw last year with Tony Weed, a relative political unknown emerging from the primary in the 8th congressional district, pretty much on the backs of a Trump endorsement alone. You know, the old adage was that all politics is local. Now I feel like that has flipped in the Trump era. Everybody's attention is going to the Donald. And now I think all politics is national is what we can say.
I would also say it's all politics is loyalists.
Yeah.
You know, we're not looking for mavericks anymore. And the fact that you don't know who this person is, but you know that he is going to vote with Donald Trump 100% of the time and never, ever, ever, ever stand up to him to represent the constituents is perhaps best describes where the Republican Party at least has gone in this day and age.
Sure does. It's you know, it's been a 10-year complete takeover of the party by Donald Trump and his supporters. There's really no one left who is questioning him except for like maybe one or two members of the House of Representatives who want to see those Epstein files.
Yes. And again, that shouldn't be a heavy lift. There's no reason why all 6 Wisconsin Republicans in the U.S. House wouldn't sign that discharge petition. Why are you helping cover this up? And yet none of them get asked this question, you know, as they're going around doing their local, you know, meet and greets and farm tours and things like that. So maybe as the shutdown goes on and they have to eventually come out of their basements, maybe they will be asked about these things just a bit more. In the meantime, we have our distractions here. And Dan, the question needs to be asked. Somebody with your great power and connections, were you sitting like behind home plate last night? Were you like, could you shout to front row Amy as you were keeping score, or are you not in that class of season ticket holders?
I'm not in that class of season ticket holders. I was watching at my house here on the west side of Milwaukee, not far from American Family Field. But yeah, that was a tough one last night. You know, running into a generational pitching performance to start the series doesn't make things easy. And then, you know, we had the dramatic ending in the 9th inning. I'm sure Bryce Terang is waking up today wishing he had a bruise on his leg taking that pitch. Absolutely could have tied the game. Yeah.
It tells you those little things about instinct, like in that double play, the instinct to get that ball home as soon as possible, and the instinct to take the pitch, you know, when it's coming right at you rather than flinching. And there are players who I mean, they just know in a heartbeat that's what you're going to do. But again, the human instinct is to get out of the way of a 100-mile-an-hour fastball coming at you, you know? So I can't really fault him. But yeah, somebody with a little bit more savvy of the game, willing to take the bruise, would have been a whole different inning then, wouldn't it?
I know, and I think of the one of the guys on the coaching staff for the Brewers, Ricky Weeks, who was always one of the league leaders in getting hit by a pitch. He'd always stand in and take those hits, and I think, you know, Terang seemed to acknowledge it a little bit, and maybe that's why he's a little rattled, starting to chase the high fastball on that final pitch of the game there. Tough way to end that game. Thought they had it.
I know. It was so close. You can't face Blake Snell every game. So we got that going for us, and going to have much better luck coming up in game two tonight. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, therecombobulationarea.news. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Pat. Be well.
Yep. Have a great day. Thanks to all of you for joining us. We will see you back here bright and early, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning here up north.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A fragile ceasefire is holding in Gaza. Hostages and their relatives are savoring reunions.
Sighs of reunion yesterday were most definitely the happiest moments I've experienced in my life.
So our families have freed Palestinian prisoners, but tough steps remain, including negotiations on who governs post-war Gaza. Day 14 of the U.S. government shutdown, and President Trump blamed Democrats on his way back from Israel on Air Force One.
They want to have health care for illegals that have come in. Many of these people are criminals, and they want to have health care.
A potent storm system's begun in Southern California, triggering evacuation orders and burn scars following nasty weather to the north. CBS